Good morning, good morning. It's me, Hannah Brown. Hi, guys. Welcome to, I figured I'd switch things up. Welcome to another episode of Brown Eyed Junicorn. I'm your host, Hannah Brown. And today, this might be kind of a long episode because honestly, I have a lot to say, more than I've had to say in a while. First of all, I want to say thank you all so, so much for helping me come up with exciting podcast names for the rebrand. I couldn't be more excited. I'm feeling really, really good about it, actually. And I just wanted to reveal some of my favorite podcast names that you've given me so far. But keep them coming. If you think of any, please feel free to DM me at Hannah A. Brown or email me at brown@gmail.com. But here are some of my favorites. I just want to shout you all out. We have Hanalyze This. I love that. Hannah's Hot Takes. Brown-Eyed and Bitchy Tales. That's fun. Now We Said It. I love an homage to Camille Grammer. Let's Whine About It, but wine spelled like the alcohol wine. I mean, on brand. Someone just responded with the diamond emoji, which said so much by saying so little. So I wish I could call my podcast just diamond emoji, but I don't know if people would get it. Hannah's Here For It, because I always say I'm here for it. And then Front to the Back, which is like a take on the fact that both Hannah and the word pop, like pop culture, are palindromes. And also this listener made a reference to how you have to wipe front to back for vaginal hygiene and safety. And I get chronic UTIs. So Front to the Back is honestly a great title. So thank you for giving me all these titles, guys. I'm really excited. The rebrand is going great. Exciting things are happening. I will keep you updated as they happen. Also, I guested on a podcast called Mixing with Mani this past week. So make sure to head on over to her podcast called Mixing with Mani. And Mani and I talk about Jersey. We talk about Vanderpump. We talk about a little bit of everything, but lots of Bravo things. And she's hilarious and so funny and has so many great takes on all of our favorite Bravo shows. So make sure to check that out. And I'm also going to be guesting on Is This Real Life podcast. So I will keep you posted on that, but that should be coming out sometime next week, I think. I'll plug it on my IG when it happens. Also, if you have not done this already, I know I plug them all the time, but head on over to Totally Good Time if you are in the mood to shop for some pop culture merch. With my code Hannah20 at checkout, you can get 20% off any of your favorite Totally Good Time items. Right now, he has this amazing Meg Ryan line of t-shirts and long sleeve tees. He has like You merch, Real Housewives merch. So make sure to check out Totally Good Time. It is my favorite website. Like my wardrobe is rapidly becoming, like my ideal uniform is rapidly becoming just like a cute pair of cropped jeans, white sneakers, and then a Totally Good Time t-shirt. Like I shit you not. I always feel so like effortlessly cool and really cute and like I'm giving a nod to my favorite pop culture moments. So Hannah20 at checkout. Treat yourselves. Last of the housekeeping business is if you just cannot get enough of me and my voice somehow, head on over to patreon.com/brown-eyed-junicorn and become a patron. For just $5 a month, you get access to all of my Patreon episodes. I recapped season one and the only season of Pretty Wild. I'm currently recapping season two of Real Housewives of New York. So lots of fun stuff going on there. I promise at least one episode a month. I try to do two. It's hard, but, you know, I'm working on balancing everything. So, again, thank you all for your extra support and your patience. And without further ado, let's get into the episode. Before I get into all my reality TV opinions and the Real Housewives in New Jersey recap, I have to tell you all about Big Bear. We all know that I don't go on vacation a lot. Like, we all know that I talked about Napa for 6 months because I was like, wow, I got to have an aspirational moment for once in my life. So for Valentine's Day weekend, we went to Big Bear. And as Jake and I mentioned on the pod, and we both worked a half day. I worked a lunch shift. He worked a half day at work. And we got on the road around like 3:30 LA time. So Big Bear normally takes 2 hours to get to from Los Angeles. But with Valentine's Day / President's Day, Friday LA traffic, it took 4 hours to get there. But, you know, Jake and I are great at making any situation fun. So we're listening to music. We eat McDonald's in the car. I kept my Valentine's Day tradition going of eating McDonald's. And we get to the Airbnb and it is so cozy and it's so cute. And I'm just so excited. And then, you know, this really nice lady shows us around and she shows us the little back area and it's fenced off and it has a hot tub and like a little deck. And Jake's like, oh, awesome. Is this fenced off? And she's like, yeah, you can let your dog back here, but just make sure you check the side gates because sometimes like maintenance people come and you just don't know who comes and goes. So make sure you check those before you let him out. We're like, great. So we go to the grocery store to get groceries for the weekend. And the grocery store is literally like the fucking purge. Like it is so busy. Everything is picked over. There's no firewood left. So thank God we brought our own. The lines of people are like halfway down the aisles, like 20 people deep. Like the grocery store was total chaos. But again, we roll with the punches. I have not always been someone in a relationship who is easygoing, but Jake just makes me want to like calm down and chill the fuck out a little bit. Like we have all the time in the world. It's fine. So I felt like we both, even though we were exhausted, were just really good at just taking it easy, not getting irritated, and waiting out this line. So we finally like have our groceries. We're in the Airbnb. Jake's like, do you want to grab a drink and get in the hot tub? I'm like, yes. So we let Monty out. We're in the hot tub. We're drinking some beers. And a few minutes go by and I'm like, hey, have you seen Monty? And he's like, no. And I'm like, okay, well, and Jake gets out and he looks for the dog and the gate's totally open. And I'm like, is he over there? Because I like, couldn't see her on the side of the house. And Jake's like, nope. So it's like 20 degrees. We're both wet. Jake like runs out in front of the cabin and is just yelling for Monty. And, you know, this is a time where I feel like it's important to mention that communication is paramount in every relationship because I assumed that Jake checked the gate. He didn't assume that I checked the gate. He just like assumed that it was closed, which wasn't the wisest thing. And the dog got out. So I wait like 30 seconds of Jake like yelling in the front yard for Monty, hoping that he was out there. And then I was like, okay, I cannot just like luxuriate in this hot tub with my beer. And so I get out and I go to the front yard with my towel and I'm like, do you see him? And he's like, no. And Jake's like, Jake is such a logical person. Like he is such a problem solver. So the fact that in this situation, there was literally nothing he could do, like he couldn't wrap his head around that there just wasn't a solution. He was like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. And honestly, I was so impressed that he didn't like get pissed off at me just because I was the closest person there. Like, I feel like sometimes I take out my frustrations on other people, Jake included. So he was so good at just like keeping his shit together. But we were both really fucking scared. It's like 10:30 at night in the middle of the woods. There's like a busy road like a couple blocks away. So we're like, okay, great. So either Monty like runs in front of a car, he gets eaten by coyotes in the mountains, or by some miracle, someone finds him, sees the phone number on his collar and calls it. So Jake wants to walk around and I'm like, babe, it's freezing. Like I got clothes for both of us. I was like, let's get dressed. Let's get in the car, turn the heat on and just like drive around yelling out the window. He's like, no, I want to walk. I'm like, okay, well, I think then we should split up. Like we'll cover more ground. And I'm trying to keep my shit together because my first instinct is to get emotional because I'm like, I miss this fucking dog. And then I immediately started spiraling, being like, oh my God, if we can't, I didn't say this out loud. I just thought to myself, like, if we can't find this dog, there's no fucking way I'm just going to like be able to sit in a hot tub tomorrow with Jake and drink a mimosa. Like this whole trip is going to be so just sad. And like the thought of like just packing up the car and like giving up and driving to LA without Monty, like I could not stomach it. I was so scared. So eventually Jake's like, okay, let's get in the car. And so he wants to drive. So we're driving around and I see what I think is Monty. And Jake's like, that's not him. I'm like, no, maybe it is. And it was a coyote. And I don't know if you guys know this, but coyotes are sort of like bitchy eighth grade girls in nature in that like one of them will come up to you. Let's say like I'm the dog and the coyote is the bitchy eighth grade girl like Evelyn. The coyote will come up to me by itself and be like, hey, like, you seem cool. Do you want to be my friend? Like, do you want to sit with me and my friends at lunch? And, you know, I'm like, okay. And then I go with the coyote to sit with her friends at lunch. And then I get eaten. I feel like that was the worst explanation ever. But coyotes, their thing is like one of them will introduce itself to a dog and be like, let's go play. And then take the dog with it. And then the pack will be waiting and they'll attack it. So like I see the coyote and that's when I fully start to cry. But I can't like scream cry the way I wanted to because that would be selfish. Like even though I've emotionally imprinted on Monty, he's not my fucking dog. Like I can't make this about me. So I'm just like quietly crying and just yelling out the window. We're both yelling out the window. And we were freaking out. This was like 45 minutes. And then finally Jake's phone rings and we're like, oh my God. And we see that it's a phone number we don't recognize. And we're like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. So Jake picks it up and he's like, hello. And this girl's like, hi. And Jake's like, hello. And she's like, yeah, I think I have your dog. And the way she said it, I was like, oh my God, did something happen to him? Did he get hit? Did she hit him? Like with her car? What happened? And she's like, Yeah, he like wandered into our cabin, but he was here a while, but then like it seemed like he wanted to leave, so we just like let him out. And Jake and I looked at each other like, "What?" And he's like, "Where are you?" And she's like, "Hold on. What's the address here?" And Jake and I are like, "Oh my god, like we can't be rude to this girl because she was nice enough to call us, but we're also like, why the fuck did you let the dog out when clearly it escaped to begin with?" And like, "Ah." And so we're trying to be polite. And then Jake's like, "Well, can you call for the dog just so he stays close?" And she's like, "What's his name?" And we're like, "Monty." And she's like, "Montoya." And he's like, "Monty." And she's like, "Okay, sure. Monty, Monty." So then Monty ends up, we like happened to be like a 2-minute drive from the house. It was maybe like a half mile from our Airbnb. And then Monty runs up to the car. We like get him in the back seat. And I just burst into tears. I'm like, yeah. And Jake just starts laughing. He's like, "Oh my god, I can't believe we found this dog. Like, I can't fucking believe it." So it was the scariest beginning to a vacation ever. You guys, I literally had Monty's picture like on my Instagram story. Like, I was ready to post it to tag Big Bear and be like, "This is not a joke. Please share this post. We can't find our dog." Like, I lost it. So once we found Monty, the trip was amazing. Saturday, we like got up early, walked the dog, made breakfast. Then we like hot tubbed. Then we day drank and went to lunch and like poked around in little gift stores. And then by like 7, we were both wasted and like getting hungover. And then my stomach just hated me because we had this really heavy lunch. So after that, like I was kind of down for the count for the night, but like we watched lots of Vanderpump Rules. We just like chilled. Jake is like obsessed with Vanderpump Rules now. Like he claims that he started watching it for this podcast, but like I know the truth. And the truth is that every second I'm not at this house, like, by the way, I'm recording at Jake's today. Every second I'm not at this house, he's like watching Vanderpump Rules, and he's simultaneously watching the current season and season 2, which is like a really wild choice, but he has some very strong opinions, and I promise you all, I will have him back on to discuss them because I love hearing his takes, and he is like fully invested. He's a huge Ariana and Tom fan. He thinks that James is so manipulative and terrible to Raquel. He does not like Jackson Brittany. So I'm trying to think. He likes Dana. You know, we pretty much have the same opinions on everything. But yeah, so we watched lots of Vanderpump Rules. Then like Sunday, we just like made breakfast and headed back and then just like continued to drink and watch TV at Jake's place when we got back to LA, which took like an hour and 50 minutes, which is so funny, like in stark contrast to the insane traffic we dealt with on the way there. Okay, that was my trip. Now let's get into reality TV. I want to say this was one of the most frustrating weeks of my shows in a very long time. Like between The Bachelor and Vanderpump Rules, I was sent into a blind rage multiple times. I try to keep it pretty light. I try to keep it pretty fluffy. I try not to be too mean, but like this week, no promises because I'm pissed. I'm pissed with how these shows went down this week and how certain things were handled. So let's start with Vanderpump Rules. Highlights. James continues to do amazing impressions. This week he made fun of Peter being like, "Oh, hey, sorry, James. I can't invite you to my party because I'm in Jax's wedding and I'm too busy licking his asshole." James is the comedic relief. And I agree that like the way he talks to Raquel is very manipulative and their relationship seems truly dark. But from like a comedy gold standpoint, I need James to be judgy and I need him to talk shit and I need him to do impressions, which he did this week and he does. Stassi also called Jax and Brittany stupid in so many words and it was really satisfying. And it's so fun to watch them like try not to badmouth each other and like tiptoe around it while still having an opinion, like enough of an opinion to keep the show interesting. So Stassi basically called them dumb, which I loved. Jack seems to think that you should believe what you believe, but just not put it on social media. So like he's basically saying like it's fine to be a bigoted homophobe, but just like do it privately and then it's fine. And I'm like, you don't deserve this platform. I did make a note more about that later, but I did make a note that I think Lisa and Brett have fucked. Plain and simple, I think they've had sex at least once. I think they had like a sweaty training session and then they had sex. And I think her and Ken have a very like fun, chill sexual relationship. And yeah, I want to let me know if you think Lisa and Brett have fucked, because I feel like there's just like sexual tension between them that you could cut with a knife. We have a little bit of Raquel in this episode. She's like, "The strawberry is good, very good. It's sugary, but it's good." I mean, I've been waitressing for about 10 years, and I've never been so good at describing a drink or any item in my entire life. If Raquel told me that the strawberry was good, very good, sugary but good, I would order one immediately. Sold. I need more of a storyline from Raquel, though. Like, I don't care about her and Lisa having a sit down and, like, talking about, like, how Lisa's like, I'm very cross with you. You didn't come to your shift on Pride. Like, I could give a fuck. But the thing is, like, Raquel's on the show because she's stunning and she's very funny by just being herself, not because she's, like, super quick-witted. So it's, like, it's hard for her to have a storyline because, like, she's not messy. James is messy. And that storyline's kind of played out at this point. So I love Raquel, but I'm interested to see what else she could potentially be involved in throughout the season, or if she's just going to sort of be sprinkled in throughout as, like, a little bit of comedic relief. I'm getting the feeling that that's what's going to happen, but we'll see. Also, when James and Raquel were talking in their kitchen about how Raquel was invited to Peter's party and James wasn't, watching them drink full glasses of apple juice as adults and standing in front of their countertops that were just crowded with random crap from Trader Joe's and a Sir bag was so overwhelming and really stressed me out. And, like, no shade to adults drinking apple juice. I love a good glass of AJ, but it was just such a specific image, and it was definitely reminiscent of early seasons of VPR. So I appreciated it. Brittany's dark relationship to princesses explained so much about her and made me want to put a ban on any Disney movies involving princesses. She's like, it's just so cool, you know, like the princess goes up against something and then she finds her voice and then she falls in love and then she gets her happily ever after. I was like, I want to stab myself in the eye 7 times. I just couldn't. I couldn't even deal. Also, when it comes to all this pastor nonsense, I mean, I'm fully team Tom and Ariana. I don't know how more people weren't. I thought it was wildly disappointing to see how the last scene was handled by the rest of the cast. I'm fully aligned with James in regards to Lance Bass becoming their replacement wedding officiant when James said, overcompensating and took way too long. Like, it's true. I think the Lance Bass thing was so weird and so exploitative, and I just, like, it rubbed me the absolute wrong way. I just, the fact that Brittany's, like, rationale for why she stuck with her pastor for so long is because he's a family friend and I chose to believe him. Believe what? Believe the Facebook posts that are literally physical pieces of evidence about what this person fucking said? Like, these horribly hateful, ignorant comments? Like, believe what? Believe his word over what he chose to put on social media? I would argue that the shit you put on social media, like, depending on who you are, granted, is, like, your true... This could be taken the wrong way. I'm just saying, I think some people use social media to present an argument on a large enough scale that they can get people to echo their thoughts and like and comment and, you know, subscribe to their way of thinking so that people feel less alone. And in some ways, that can be really powerful and great on social media when you stand up for a good cause and you can get the power of the people spreading the word, etc. But I think this man was putting these hateful ideas on the internet to rile up a bunch of people and get a bunch of people to back his shit up. And for Brittany to believe his word being like, I'm not a homophobe, when there's physical evidence, is just, like, ridiculous to me. I'm sorry. I think she is one of the dumbest people on the planet. And honestly, I've met her and she was fucking rude. So just because you're from the South doesn't make you a nice person or a good person. I'm so over it. I'm so over her and Jax. I can't. And it's so Trumpian the way that they, like, refuse to acknowledge anything, and Jax's solution is to just block people when they ever challenge his thoughts. It's like, it's so infuriating. And then it was also really wild to see Lala talk shit about the pastor thing to Ariana when they were setting up for Britney's wedding shower. And then later in the same episode, she was fully brainwashed. She was in the rich white girl equivalent of the sunken place, just blindly agreeing with everything that the rest of the group said and standing for nothing. Meanwhile, Tom and Ariana are getting this, like, pseudo villain edit because they're the only ones that have the balls to, like, actually stand up for themselves, even if it means alienating the rest of the group. Like, if this is what this show is going to be, like, if it's going to celebrate Jax and Brittany, I cannot continue to watch it. I'm not even kidding. And I've said this so many times, but, like, I can't. I'm so heated. I hate being this way when I'm watching a show that's supposed to be, like, fluffy reality stupidity. Like, I want a show with James and Raquel drinking apple juice in their dirty ass kitchen. I don't want to watch this shit. I don't want to watch Jax and Brittany make money being assholes. No, thank you. And then Stassi saying that Tom was trying to make them look bad was hilarious. I'm like, they do that work themselves. And Stassi, you did that work yourself years ago when you said extremely bigoted things too. Like, I just can't. The cast is fucking bananas at this point. It's not even fun anymore. It's just frustrating. And she was just like, fuck you, Sandoval. Fuck you. And then Ariana, when she made fun of, like, it's always this shrill. Ah! I loved Ariana for mocking Britney. I thought that was really fun. In conclusion, no one cares about your dark fucking wedding. And I think at this point, it's a compliment to be kicked out of it. Like, if I were Tom, I'd be like, great, kick me out of your wedding. I don't even want to go. I don't care. Whew. I feel like Laura Lee. Do you remember that episode of Vanderpump Rules? I feel like I bring it up all the time in season one. When Laura Lee like pops off on Stassi, he's like, and you're trying to tell me that you're not harassing me. You're harassing me with text messages. You text messages all day long. Ooh, you're trying to tell me you're not a ghetto bitch. Ooh, I'm so heated right now. I feel like I'm in a full place of Laura Lee with this entire episode. And The Bachelor was no better. First of all, hometowns were a goddamn snooze. Hannah Ann's stern dad being like, well, I don't know about this, is a tale as old as time. Kelsey's family was chill, I guess. I do feel like their house was rented and fully staged by a realtor, similar to like Katie's house on Vanderpump Rules and like Jackson Brittany's. Like, I was like, I think you rented this house for the show because it was like pristinely decorated in a very like generic way. Madison's family was easily the darkest. The mascara journey rages on. That's dark. Her dad was just, he had a very possessive energy and he just seemed like one of those dads that's a little too obsessed with his daughter. And the mom was just kind of dead inside. Like there was nothing going on behind the eyes. And I just, prayers for Madison. Victoria. I love how they try to make her seem like so quirky and fun and wacky because her and Peter went on a date where they put on costumes. The MVP of this episode and arguably the entire season is our blurry faced queen, Peter's ex, Marissa. Reality Steve says that he's gotten more negative stories from people about Victoria F. than anyone ever before. And Marissa basically goes up to Peter and she's like, I think you should be careful. Victoria has a reputation. I know her. I don't think she's a good person. And I just think you should like maybe be careful. And so like Peter takes this into account. And basically Peter brings it up to Victoria and she's just like, are you kidding me? You're supposed to meet my family tonight? Are you kidding me? No. I'm like, honestly, I don't even want to talk about this right now. I'm so over it. Tell me, why are you willing to stay? Why are you so willing to stay? She asks Peter why he's so willing to stay. And I'm like, sweetie, I got two words for you, fantasy and sweet. He's trying to get in your fucking pants. He's keeping you around to get in your pants because there is no way a dude can fight with a girl every single time they hang out and be like, yep, that's my wife. That's my wife. My wife is in this room. I mean, literally, every time he tries to have any sort of adult communication with her, it doesn't happen. No actual communication ever happens because she just gets bitchy and defensive and starts crying. He's like, I'm over it. I can't. And her tone is just so bitchy and triggering to like the mean girls in junior high. And it's just very clear to me that Victoria F. has never been in a place where she has to, where she can't control a guy based on how she looks. And so anytime Peter asks her to sort of, you know, acknowledge something in a really grounded emotional way, she just panics and like goes into complete like flight mode. And then he kept her anyway, despite her entire tantrum, like her temper tantrum, running down the street crying. He fucking kept her there and sent Kelsey home. Now, listen, I said this last week. I think the top four were a huge disappointment. I really could give a fuck about any of these women. But Peter is a waste of space and a waste of America's time. I think keeping Victoria just showed us that he is a shallow asshole and I'm so over it. He's not welcome on my podcast. I hope Hannah B does not end up with him because honestly, I think she deserves better. My friend JD Barton, friend of the pod, who's been on this podcast a handful of times, he is so good at predicting The Bachelor at this point. Like he has it down to a science. He could fully be a producer. Like he could fully be Constance Zimmer in Unreal, like Quinn, like hiding in the control room and making shit happen. He's so good with this show. His theory is that he Oh, I said theory and Siri thought I said Siri. Okay. His theory is that that he fucks Victoria and probably all of them, honestly, in the fantasy suite. Madison, being the, you know, good Christian she is very upset by that and leaves. Then he realizes he can't pick Hannah Ann or Victoria and then goes to get Madison. And then after the final rose, it will be revealed that Madison and Peter are together. So we'll see if that's how this goes down. Honestly, again, I have to see how it ends because I've given this show and this season so much of my time and my energy at this point. But I'm deeply, deeply disappointed. And I just want to get to Bachelor in Paradise because we know that that's where all the true MVPs are. I would love Marissa, the blurry-faced queen from the boardwalk, who, you know, gave Peter, spilled the tea about Victoria F to Peter. I would like her to make an appearance in Paradise. What if Marissa just got a chance at love because she was the one that sort of set the house of cards ablaze when it came to Victoria F? That would be awesome. That would be awesome. I mean, I doubt that would happen because she didn't even sign a release to have her face shown. But like, that would be really cool if Marissa just showed up in Paradise. You know what I mean? Real Housewives of New Jersey rages on. Next week, we have the season finale. I have to say, I'm kind of over it at this point. I'm going to recap it anyway because that's what we're doing here. But I just, the drama has been at a sensible rolling boil for like a few weeks now, like pretty much since Danielle pulled Margaret's ponytail and shoved all of her shit in a candle. It hasn't been that good since. But, you know, this episode was okay. I think the finale is going to be good. We are going to see Teresa fuck shit up in the finale. But let's get into this week's episode. Episode 15, Secrets Revealed. So they're all still at the shore and everyone's getting ready. And Margaret is fuming about Jennifer's comment when Margaret was trying to have a heart to heart with Teresa in the kitchen. She's like, Jennifer, she's an asshole. She's like, well, it's not similar. It's not a competition. Who has it worse? And Jackie's like, I don't stand for it. You need to put her in her place. Meanwhile, Jennifer is fuming to Dolores about Margaret's dig that she doesn't work. And Melissa thinks that Jennifer always tries to put a negative spin on everything she hears and doesn't know when to stop. Then Jackie's husband, Evan, shows up. I just want to say I think he's really hot and he and Jackie are cute together. And then the whole group piles into the cars to head to the boardwalk. Margaret reveals she's not wearing underwear and Joe Bonino is like, never. And I was like, oh my God, her and Danica from VPR have that in common. I love that Margaret never wears underwear. She's like, I like the breeze. Then they get a bunch of cocktails and the cocktails come with all these like crazy straws and it looks like a very blended sugary situation. They're in those like giant plastic cups and I had like a headache and a hangover just looking at them. Then Joe Gorga asks Dolores about David and he's like, who's behind you right now? And it was Frank Catania. So Joe Gorga makes this strong case for Dolores and Frank Catania to be together. But Frank is like, everyone has the vices and my vice is women. And so he doesn't want to risk hurting Dolores again because he truly doesn't believe that he isn't going to cheat on her. And everyone peer pressures them into kissing and they just do a brief peck. And Dolores is like, Frank and I have a connection and a bond, but I don't get over the disloyalty and I could never get over that. And then Joe Gorga kisses Frank on the face, which I loved. And then Jennifer asks Teresa to go chat. And Teresa's like, don't miss us. Then Evan asks Bill Aiden to go get a drink. And they play some games on the boardwalk. And then Melissa and Joe Gorga go to take a walk on the beach. Melissa talks more about how much she loves the Jersey Shore. And Joe expresses concern for Teresa not finding love yet. And then they weigh the options about having another baby. And I wrote in all caps that I'm so over the baby storyline. Like, enough is enough. Joe tells Melissa to embrace her life and enjoy her life. Then Bill and Evan are playing games and Teresa and Jen duck into a gift shop to get souvenirs for their kids. And like, I think it's like in theory really sweet that Teresa's like, I always get something from my girls. But I'm like, none of your kids want like a random lifeguard sweatshirt from the Jersey Shore. Like, I think they have enough stuff at this point. Then let's see. They talk about Margaret's comment, Teresa and Jen do, and then we cut to Dolores and Margaret talking about Jen's comment, and Margaret's like, shut your fucking pie hole. Just like fucking talk less, think more. Then they're playing games. Teresa and Jen run into Bill and Evan playing games, so they decide to play some games on the boardwalk with them, and Teresa's like, oh, look at this. Oh, I got one. Thank you. Oh, I love these. Like, she was lit on the carnival games. She was living her bliss. And they roll up to the beach with everyone, like the rest of the group, to eat lunch. And Teresa's like, hi, guys. Oh, yummy. And then they head home. Honestly, nothing really happened in this scene. I just wanted to do a Teresa impression for a second, which I don't think my Teresa impression is great, but I do think it's funny, like, how her voice goes from, like, down here to, like, hi, guys. Like, Teresa's wild. She's a trip. Then everyone is getting ready for dinner. Jennifer drinks a vodka Red Bull, which is so aggro. Like, it gave me, again, a headache and a stomachache just looking at it. They do shots. Jen does a double shot. Also, I live for Dolores. She goes to dinner in this full floor-length sequin Elton John jacket that I was so into. And then Margaret is deeply concerned about the state of her extensions this entire scene. She's like, my weave's going to get wet. And she's in this like leopard dress moment. Their server, Joanne, was everything to me. She was abrasively just standing at the head of the table at the steakhouse being like, hello, everyone. My name is Joanne and I will be taking care of you. And she had this like messy French braid. I love the journey of like servers on these Bravo shows. Like, I love trying to figure out, like, do they know who these people are? Are they excited about waiting on them? Are they excited about just being on TV? Joanne was like doing the most, but also doing the least, which I was really into. The group is planning on activities for tomorrow, and Jennifer wants to go parasailing. And then Dolores is planning a party. And then Jackie orders an appetizer for dinner, by the way, which is a no for me. She's like, I'm just going to do like the octopus appetizer. And I'm like, you're going to be hungry, Jackie, but live your bliss. And they're all planning on getting lunch tomorrow. And Melissa reveals that after lunch, she's going to meet Danielle to tell her that she's not welcome around and to defend Margaret's honor. The group goes to town on a seafood tower. I feel like on Jersey, they really love a seafood tower, and so do I. Jackie then challenges everyone that she can chug a bottle of beer faster than anyone else at the table. And most of them decide to partake. And Jackie wins. Frank Catania gets it all on video, which I love. And then Jennifer yells, you know how to suck a bottle, but you don't know how to suck a dick. And Jennifer insists it was a joke. And Margaret is just so over Jennifer. She's like, Jennifer, read the room. So Margaret, like, this sets Margaret off because Jennifer's pretty much just always speaking out of her ass. And Margaret and Jennifer immediately get into it about their comments from earlier. And Teresa's like, oh my God, I felt like Margaret was coming from a good place. I felt like Jennifer was coming from a good place. And I just can't believe this fight is happening over like me and our friendship. They continue to argue about their comments earlier. And Margaret goes in on how Jennifer doesn't work outside the home. And then Jennifer's like, I don't know what type of mother you were, but I'm a very hands-on mother. And we all know from years of Real Housewives history that you never go in on the children. You don't talk about the children. You don't talk about motherhood and expect to live. So obviously this sets Margaret off, and Margaret gets really pissed and defensive. And Jennifer thinks that Margaret expects everyone to coddle her. And that triggers Margaret because Margaret, we know from previous episodes and from Margaret's history with her mom, that Margaret had to grow up very, very young. She's been through a lot of shit. She's like, I have pulled myself up by my bootstraps. So like, Margaret's triggered by Jennifer saying that Margaret expects to be coddled because we all know that that's never been the case. So that makes Margaret get up and point her finger, and Jennifer's like, oh my God, sit down. And Margaret's like, the only achievement you've ever had is marrying somebody rich. You're lucky he stays with you. And Jennifer's like, you need to stop taking things so seriously. And Teresa's like, oh my God. So Margaret and Joe Bonino bounce, and that kind of loyalty is so hot to me that Joe Bonino like didn't get involved in the argument this time, but he was like, we're going to go. No, we're going to go. So he gets up and Jennifer yells, Fred Flintstone called. He wants his outfit back. And I love when Jennifer shades what people are wearing because her fashion choices are arguably some of the most TBD in this entire cast and in any Real Housewives franchise. Then Margaret's like, she is classless. She is so classless. And I just want to say, I love when housewives like to throw the word class around. Like, we all know the Countess did it. I mean, on every franchise, they're like, you are classless. Or like Faye Resnick being like, no matter how Fendi bags you may borrow, you will never be a lady. Like, they all like to act like they're so classy. And I would argue that a truly classy person would not do a reality show. Like, I believe that a classy person, like, classy in the way that, like, I don't know, the Queen of Genovia, what's her name? Julie Andrews in The Princess Diaries, that the Queen of Genovia would never go on a reality show because the Queen of Genovia doesn't want to make a paycheck getting drunk and messy and yelling at people. So I love when they're like, she is classless. I'm like, Margaret, you're not classy either. None of you are. That's why we love all of you so much. You know what I mean? Jackie and Evan and then Melissa and Joe also have to leave with Margaret and Joe because they all rode together. And Dolores insists that Jennifer means well, but she just doesn't know her audience. They get back to the house and it's pouring. And Joe Gorga scurries in to the house in his little yellow tee and jeans. And now I feel like this podcast, when I recap Jersey, has devolved into me just saying that Joe Gorga looks hot in his various t-shirts stretched across his, like, you know, muscular little like Ninja Turtle body. Did you guys ever watch Barney growing up? Okay, because I watched Barney. I was obsessed with Barney. Like, I might have watched Barney a little too late. And I also loved Out of the Box, by the way. Out of the Box was so fun. Like, I used to want to put boxes together and then, like, walk in and have it be a big, beautiful, like, house. It never happened for me. I digress. So, do you remember in Barney, there was Baby Bop, the, like, green dinosaur who was like, She was annoying. And then there was BJ, who was like the cool yellow dinosaur who had like little Converse and a backwards hat. He's like, hey, Barney, what's up? Joe Gorga in his yellow t-shirt scurrying up to the house had big BJ from Barney energy. And I was so into it. And I'm pretty sure I thought BJ was hot when I was a kid. Because when I was a kid, I mean, the lines of like who I could think was attractive were really blurry. Like, if you were a hot puppet, I was down. If you were a hot cartoon, sure. So BJ from Barney totally did it for me. So I saw Joe Gorga running through the rain in that tight yellow tee, and I was like, oh, hello. The morning after, the guys are all going fishing, and when Joe Gorga barreled down the stairs in his little green tee and hat, so excited to go fishing, I was thrilled and into it. And I'm sorry. We all know I think Melissa is hot too, okay? I love them both so much. I think they're both so sexy, and I could comment about that all the time, all day, every day. The guys board Old Salty 2, the boat, and Captain Nick Jr. and Captain Nick Sr. are there to help coordinate the fishing. So the guys are trying to catch sea bass, and they're ripping shots left and right. Joe Gorga, I feel like he'd be so fun to party with too. Same with Melissa. I've said it before. I'll say it again. Joe gets Bill wasted. And Joe's like, I don't like Jennifer, but he like lives for Bill. He's like, that's my boy. That's my boy. And all of them catch either no fish or like the smallest fish ever, which was, I thought this scene was really cute and really fun. They're all just such dorks. And then Bill is like, he's like, only Jersey Shore, man. He's like so lit on the Jersey Shore, and they're all wasted. And they're like, we got to make you into a Guido, Bill. And Bill's like, I'm a Turkish Guido. And then Joe violently pulls Bill's chest hair out of his shirt. Then we return to Dolores, Jennifer, and Teresa getting ready to go parasailing. And Dolores is like, if I fucking land in the fucking cold water, you're all dead. And they're going over some safety rules in the boat, and Teresa's panicking immediately about potentially falling in or the boat sinking. She's like, what? But I thought you said no one was falling in. And the guy's like, well, it's not what you want. The water is choppy, so Jen gets nauseous and therefore starts burping a lot. And Teresa's like, I am not going up there next to her. Meanwhile, Jackie, Margaret, and Melissa go mini golfing. And honestly, I was like, oh, all these outings look really fun. Like, I wonder which one I would have picked if I were on that vacation. And then I saw that lame ass mini golf course, and I was like, hands down would have gone parasailing and not gone mini golfing. And then Margaret's like, you know what? Mini golfing is not my thing, but I'd rather I have to start over because I don't want to fuck this up. I like this part a lot. Margaret goes, you know what? Mini golfing is not my thing, but I'd rather wax my vagina with molten lava than spend a day with Jennifer. She like laughed at her own joke, and I was like, that's good. But God, the idea of waxing your vagina with molten lava, I mean, that says something. Margaret really doesn't like Jennifer. Then we cut to Dolores, and she's like, Jennifer's burping like an animal right now. And they all start to panic about the parasail. And Teresa's like, I'm freaking out. But ultimately, they go parasailing and they have a ton of fun. Meanwhile, mini golf looked boring as fuck. Margaret says she thinks Danielle is going to guilt Melissa into letting her back in by mentioning all the great times they've had together. And we see a little montage of Danielle and Melissa getting along. And they think that the group thinks that Teresa's weak right now because of everything else she's dealing with. And that given everything that Teresa's dealing with, Danielle is not good for her to be around. So Margaret, Melissa, and Jackie arrive first at lunch. They order a sensible guacamole. Then Dolores, Tree, and Jen arrive. And Jen's like, I just got to go to the bathroom really quick. And then she changes into her sorry, not sorry tea. And Melissa's jaw literally drops. And she says, are you trying to make a statement here at lunch? And Jennifer's like, I mean, I think it's cute. You know, Jackie told me to wear a t-shirt saying sorry. And Melissa basically is just like, but you're not saying sorry, you're being shady, and you never actually apologized. And I expected that argument to escalate more than it did, but it really didn't. They were just like, So the tension there, like, rages on. Then the gals arrive at the house, the men are on their way home, and Bill literally cannot walk. His hair is totally mussed up. All the guys carry him up the stairs, and Jennifer is shook. She's like, what did you guys do to my husband? And Dolores is like, what did you do to him? And Jalo, I read Joe and Dolores at the same time, and that's what I said. Joe wipes Bill's face with a cold, like, washcloth, just so paternal and sweet. And he's like, "You okay, Doc? You okay?" And then Bill, with his eyes closed, starts feeling up Joe's pecs, and he just reveals that he's a jokester. Bill's a good time. It was fun to see Bill get ridiculously wasted and loosen up, and they're like, "Ah, he's fine," and they kept calling him Doc and put him to bed, and I actually thought it was really cute. Jamie, the personal chef, arrives. And then, did I say personal chef? You guys, help me. Jamie, the personal chef, arrives. Then their makeup artists arrive. And I made a note that high key, this looked like the most fun part of the trip. Because the thing is like, I like things to be like chic and glamorous, but I'm also one of the laziest people on the planet. So the idea of like getting to relax in this big shore house with my friends, get ready with my friends, get our makeup done, and then have a beautiful dinner made for us, and then we don't even need to leave. Like, that is the dream. Sign me the fuck up. I'm the laziest partier ever. Melissa then leaves to meet up with Danielle. And, you know, we all know I love Melissa. I celebrate Melissa. But I was unclear on her OOTDs for this trip. They were very, like, Kids R Us adjacent. It was just a lot of frilly little, like, pink and light blue dresses. And I'm not trying to be ageist. Like, wear whatever the fuck you want at any age. I just wasn't really into, like, the prairie romper vibes that she was rocking. Even though she could wear anything and look hot. Back to the server. Okay, so as I was saying earlier, I love acknowledging the servers on these shows. And the server at the smoothie place where Melissa was meeting Danielle was so lit. She was young and she was like so excited to be waiting on them and so excited to be on the show, but trying to keep her shit together and doing a terrible job, which is fully the way I would be if I had to wait on them on this show. She's like, "Hi, hello, are you ready to order? Okay, cool, yeah, Melissa's like, "Yeah, I'm just waiting on my friends, so like just give us a second." She's like, "Okay, yeah, sounds good." Then Danielle arrives and the server comes back and is like, "Hi, hello, what do you want?" And Danielle's like, "I like bananas and I'm allergic to dairy." And the server, she is so professional. She immediately suggests a smoothie that has bananas but is dairy free. And then Danielle asks Melissa why they're suddenly not friends. And Melissa's like, she basically says that Danielle can no longer say that she hasn't caused any problems in the group based on all the fights she started. And there's a dramatic pause. The smoothies arrive. And Danielle is like, "And there's no dairy in this, right?" And the server's like, "Nope, yep, nope." And so then they go back to the drama. Melissa brings up the hair pulling again at Steve and Dan and says that, you know, when you pull someone's hair, Danielle, that makes you violent. And then Danielle brings up Margaret throwing wine and water at her. And Danielle goes, "Eventually, that's a fuck enough." I love when Danielle says, "That's a fuck enough." She did it in season 2. She did it now. I say it all the time. Like, if work is really busy and I'm stressed out, I'll just turn to my friend Ashley, who's one of the hosts at my job, and I go, "That's a fuck enough." So Danielle basically argues that Margaret threw wine and water at her. And I know, guys, I'm not – Danielle is batshit crazy. Like, we all know this. And I'm totally team Margaret all day, every day. But I will say, if someone threw red wine at me or water at me, I can't promise that I wouldn't pull their hair too. Like, I want to say that I wouldn't. But, like, it is so violating to throw something at someone. Like, I see where Danielle was coming from. I see why she's frustrated that no one ever acknowledges that, like, Margaret kind of egged her on by throwing shit at her. Melissa then says as a group they all don't want her around. And Danielle asks if this includes Teresa. Melissa's like, "She knows I am here, yes. You know, I think she enjoys your company. I think you make her laugh. But I honestly don't think Teresa's in her right mind right now." And Melissa's like, she says that the family is suffering. And if you do something violent or vicious right now, that can affect her. And Danielle's like, "Are you really saying that to me right now?" And Melissa's like, "Yes, I am." And Danielle's like, "I was done when I emptied Margaret's purse into the candle." And then she reveals that the only reason she pulled Margaret's hair is because Steve and Dan told her to. Steven motherfucking Dan, the owner of the boutique, told Danielle to pull Margaret's hair. And then Danielle tells us that Teresa also told her to pull Margaret's hair. Now, we all know Danielle's nuts. She's not always a reliable narrator. So we are shown footage. Surprise footage, receipts, if you will, unseen footage of Danielle going behind Teresa and being like, "He told me to pull Margaret's hair." And Teresa's like, "Yeah, you should. You should do it. Do it, do it, do it, do it." And so Teresa is like fully egging Danielle on. And then we get another to be continued. It's like the fifth to be continued of the season. So next week, we have the season finale. Melissa tells this information to the group that Teresa egged Danielle on to pull Margaret's hair. And obviously, this causes a huge divide. Teresa throws a solo cup in rage and freaks out at what looks like a barbecue. And then we see Teresa and the girls going to see Joe in Italy. And Teresa and Joe discuss the future of their marriage. And that's the end of the episode, you guys. It was a cliffhanger, I will say. The episode was fun. It was fluffy. It was mostly filler, but it was fun. And it ended on a cliffhanger. And I'm really excited to see how this shit goes down at the barbecue next week and how the group handles this. And I think it's going to make for a really juicy reunion. That's for sure. Y'all, thank you so much for listening. Thank you for tuning in. If you have any questions or comments or concerns, please feel free to DM me at Hannah A. Brown or email me at brownandunicorn@gmail.com. Thank you always, always for all your support and your feedback. And if you're feeling generous or you're feeling bored or you just really love the pod, please feel free to head on over to iTunes and leave me a rating and a review. Okay, guys, thank you so much. I hope you all have a great weekend and a great week, and we will see you soon. Bye.